Welcome back to AI Roundup, y'all. Today we're talking about a photographer being sued by a lion? Not a lion, but Lion. Plus, the godfather of AI joins the rebellion. And AI video editors are coming for my job? What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of AI Roundup. Today, we're going to be talking about the massive and ever-increasing AI arms race between corporations like OpenAI, Microsoft, and Google. The headline for this episode...
The Great AI Arms Race. Can we survive the onslaught?
It's a bit sensational, and I just want to clarify, I don't really have as much of a fear of AI actually like wiping out humanity as much as I do have a fear of just the people using it and developing it, using it for the wrong purposes and under the wrong methods. And it seems like these companies like OpenAI and Google, Microsoft, they have really no interest in slowing down the development of their AI and the pursuits of, profits, that sweet, sweet, sticky green. And speaking of money, let's talk about how the institutions behind the Lion dataset say that a photographer owes them $979. All right, for our actual impact story today, in an article from Vice by Chloe Zhang, a German stock photographer, Robert Nischke, requested the removal of his images from the AI training Lion dataset, only to receive a $979 invoice for making an unjustified copyright claim. Nischke discovered his images were being used in the Lion 5B dataset, which contains over 5 billion images and is utilized by companies like Stability AI for training AI models that generate images. After requesting the removal of his images, Nischke received a letter stating that Lion is compliant with copyright laws and it is not possible to remove the images. He later sent a cease and desist request, to which Lion lawyers again responded that there had been no copyright infringement. The legality of using copyrighted materials to train AI is still contentious, with no precedent case available. Additionally, Nischke has filed a lawsuit against Lion at the Hamburg Regional Court in Germany, which is still pending. So this is kind of crazy, right? There are many pending lawsuits that, depending on the outcome, it will really change the way that generative AI is regulated. Getty Images has a major lawsuit pending against Stability AI, and we've already spoken about the legal crossroads that Alphabet finds itself at with YouTube and Google search, with issues like AI-generated music. And at the heart of all these arguments is whether or not the commonly cited fair use precedents will apply to generative AI. Search engines like Google have already faced these challenges in the past and set up the precedent that search engines are allowed to index and display snippets of copyrighted works for the purpose of displaying relevant search results. Additionally, this practice is considered transformative, and that further supports the use of the fair use legal doctrine. Image generating AI companies are relying on this argument heavily right now, and that's really at the core of this case between Nischke and Lion. And I feel like there's just a little bit of pettiness just in the semantics of the arguments going on here. Lion and their defense team claim they can't delete Nischke's images because there are no images to delete, which is true, I guess, but they did temporarily use his images to train their AI model. And I think what's at the heart of this argument is that Nischke doesn't want an AI model to have the ability to produce images that draw on the training that used his images. And I think that makes total sense. Now, on the flip side, Lion and Stability AI or anyone else that used Lion to train an image generating model doesn't want to retrain the model on a data set that extracts his images. On one hand, I get it. Removing Nischke's images, or rather untraining their model on his images, would be like trying to take the eggs out of a cake that you've just pulled out of the oven. It's just not easy or doable, really. But you know what? This goes all the way back to episode 1 of AI Roundup, where we talked about people being big mad about AI art. And in that episode, it was a bit silly to see people getting big mad about a piece of AI art hanging in the Moritz House Museum. You know, this issue of people having their work, whether it be photography, art, or even open source coding advice on online forums, being used to train AI models without their consent is actually a huge issue that has yet to be settled in the court of law. And something maybe worth getting big mad about. And until that happens, I think we're going to continue to see cases of individuals bringing their complaints against the companies that were moving fast, playing loose, and, you know, basically just scraping the entire internet just to get their models out to the market first. In this case, I think Lion is in the wrong, but there's really no feasible or financially viable way for them to bend on this case. I think that's why they are even going a step further and suing Nishiki to set an example, to try to, you know, intimidate other creatives that if this is how you approach us about your work being used in our data sets, this is what's going to happen to you. I, for one, hope that Nishiki is able to recoup some losses or stake a claim for compensation, or at the very least set a precedent for major institutions training these models that, hey, you can't just use everything on the internet carte blanche without, you know, asking permission. And in the past, I mean, to be fair, we compared this practice to a person learning by looking at something in real life or looking at someone else's art. Like, for instance, as a kid, I learned to draw by looking at comic books and then reproducing similar drawings. You know, Jim Lee couldn't come to me and say, hey, take those images out of your head. Forget that you ever saw the cover of Uncanny X-Men 280. Which I did reproduce as a kid by looking at it and drawing it myself. You know, but at the same time, I'm not a generative AI model. I'm not capable of generating hundreds of copies of a comic book cover on demand in a few seconds at scale. It's clear the biggest issue with many generative AI models is that companies have moved too fast, they play too loose with their training in order to get to market as fast as possible. And I think in coming years, we're going to see a lot of regrets coming from that course of action. And speaking of regrets, it's time to take a look at this week's big picture story. In an interview from the New York Times by Cade Metz, Jeffrey Hinton, a pioneer in artificial intelligence, has resigned from Google after working there for over a decade in order to voice concerns about the risk associated with AI technologies. Hinton's work, alongside his University of Toronto graduate students, laid the intellectual foundation for AI systems that are now considered crucial to the future of major tech companies. Hinton expressed that it is difficult to prevent bad actors from using AI technologies for malicious purposes, and although he did not sign the open letters calling for a moratorium on AI development, Hinton felt it was important to speak out about the risk associated with AI after leaving his position at Google. In fact, that's why he left. The recent development of chatbots like ChatGPT, Bing's chatbot, Google's Bard, and China's Ernie have sparked debate about the safety and ethical implications of AI technologies. Hinton, often referred to as the godfather of AI, has concerns about the intense competition between tech giants like Google and Microsoft in the development of AI technologies. He fears that this rivalry could lead to an uncontrollable surge of false information online, making it difficult for people to discern truth from falsehood. Furthermore, he worries about the impact of AI on the job market, as chatbots may eventually replace roles such as paralegals, personal assistants, and translators, and, well, probably even more. And if you watched yesterday's episode of MSP Dispatch, then you know that's already happening, as Dropbox just announced they are laying off 500 employees to literally invest in AI technology. Now, when I first read this headline, I kind of scoffed, like, you know, come on, man, too little, too late. But, you know, when I actually dug in and read the history of Hinton in this article, his case is pretty compelling. For instance, the article details how in the 1980s, Hinton left Carnegie Mellon University for Canada because he was hesitant to accept money from the Pentagon for his work, which I think is pretty admirable and outside of the norm of what most researchers, I think, would do. And it shows his commitment that, you know, even over 30 years ago, he didn't want his work on AI to be used for the wrong purposes. Additionally, as you read on, the article details how Hinton's own company, DNN Research, was acquired by Google, and that their neural network systems directly led to the creation of ChatGPT and Google Bard, etc. And to me at this point, I can clearly see how Hinton could have regrets, as his life's work, which for the most part was always based in academia, has become like the holy grail for the tech industry and has legitimately been the spark to the tinder of this AI arms race. So, you know, At face value, when I read a story like this, it's difficult for me to get my head around, like, what does Hinton actually want people to do to curb the dangerous development of AI? And I've said many times on this show, the cat is out of the bag. Stable Diffusion, Meta's Llama, and more, you know, these models, they're out there on tens of thousands of people's hard drives now, and they're not going back. So I think at the same time, this threat of misinformation created by AI, it's pretty overhyped. This kind of stuff has been happening for decades, and it's going to continue. It's just now that we have a new tool of AI in the mix. People will find ways to cope with that, in my opinion. So I think the biggest takeaway I can see from Hinton's message is that companies that are developing AI models, they need to make sure they know how to control these models before they continue to develop them to be more powerful. And at the same time, they also need to be exceedingly careful about giving models the ability to write and run their own code at the risk that they might become truly autonomous. And all that is to say that, you know, I have no idea how the common user of AI is supposed to do anything differently in the face of all this. It feels to me that if people like myself, you know, continue to subscribe to services like ChatGPT Plus and MidJourney, you know, this is a clear indicator to companies that there is a gold rush in pushing these products to market. And am I gonna stop subscribing anytime soon? No, very unlikely. So if you're not the head of an AI department for a company like Microsoft or Google, you know, I'd love to hear, what do you think we can do to better direct the evolution of AI technology? Sound off in the MMN Discord. I don't want to just leave it there, though. I thought before we wrap this story up, it would be nice to bring back our ChatGPT assisted segment of the show, AI Groove. In case you missed the last installment of this segment, this is where I ask ChatGPT to explain things for me in an entertaining fashion as the host of their own hip show about AI. And for today's AI Groove, we'll be getting some suggestions on how we can contribute to the fight for ethical AI development.
Hey, 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 welcome back to the AI Groove with your host, DJ AI. Today we're bringing you the ultimate insider tips on how you, yes you, can help keep generative AI in check. So buckle up, groove on, and let's dive right in. First up, stay informed, stay funky. Groove to the beat of AI news. Keep yourself updated on the latest developments, controversies, and discussions in the world of artificial intelligence. Knowledge is power, baby. Spread the word. Share your AI dance moves and spark conversations with your friends, family, and colleagues. The more people know about the potential risk of AI, the better we can come together to make a difference. Be a conscious consumer. Vote with your wallet and support ethical tech companies that prioritize responsible AI development. Do your research and let your money groove in the right direction. Raise your voice. If you see something sketchy in the AI scene, don't be afraid to speak up. Write to companies, sign petitions, or join online campaigns pushing for responsible AI policies. Let's make some noise, people. Get involved. Groove into the world of AI policy and ethics. Look for local meetups, conferences, or online forums where you can discuss AI issues, share your thoughts, and continue to a safer AI future. And that's a wrap, my AI Groovers. Remember, we all have a part to play in keeping AI in check. Stay safe, stay informed, and as always, keep on grooving. This is DJ AI, signing off till next time.
All right, DJ AI, I hear you echoing a lot of the sentiments that I love to express on this show, and that is just so nice to hear an AI saying it themselves. And now, since we've already spoken of people losing their jobs to AI, it's time for today's use case, where I put my own head on the chopping block to test out a new AI video editing tool. All right, for today's use case, I signed up for the trial version of an AI-powered video editing tool called Autopod. And I honestly have no idea how much of this tool is truly powered by AI, but I can say that I tested it out for my podcast, The Suck, over the weekend, and it took the edit for an hour-long show and did the entire multicam cut for me in about 15 minutes. For a multicam cut, I would usually spend at least a couple hours going through the footage, you know, switching the cameras, making small tweaks to the timing for clarity and comedic purposes. But not only did Autopod do the cut for me very fast, but it actually did quite a good job of choosing when and where to cut to different people on the recording. In fact, I didn't make any tweaks to the edit that it gave me. I just simply added our show intro and outro, and I rendered it out. Autopod allows for a free 7-day trial if you want to try it out. This is an extension that works solely for Adobe Premiere at the time of this taping of this episode. So for DaVinci Resolve, Final Cut Pro users, sorry, it's not available yet. It does offer three different modes: the multicam mode, which we already spoke about, a social clip creator mode, which helps to automatically recut and rearrange your video assets for differently sized videos that are preferred for, you know, TikTok, Instagram, etc. And it has a jump cut editor, which combs through a recording and cuts out any instances of silence for a snappier edit. And I'll note that I did use that for today's episode, so let me know what you think of the cut. Autopod is $29 a month after the free trial period. I think I'll be giving it a further test run for the next couple months myself. If you try it out, let me know what you think. And before we sign off for today, I'd love to point you to some other shows we'll be releasing on the MSP Media Network soon. Later today at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Partner First, From Good to Great, Improving Customer Experience and Efficiency with Chat and AI. Sounds like my kind of show. And on this Friday, May 5th, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, a very special Mother's Day episode of 38 at 38 with Karina Ramos, which is Aaron's mom. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, the MSP Dispatch, presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
And that's our AI roundup for today. Be sure to join the MSP Media Network Discord. The link is in the show notes, or you can scan that QR code on the screen. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. If you have any questions, email us at news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Or leave us a voicemail at 833-MSP-NETWORK. And this has been your May 3rd episode of AI Roundup. I'm Phil Buck, and I'll see you next time.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.